Zonko and Natalie?
This meeting is now being recorded.
Know how to unrecord.
You have to redial the line.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
We're still here. If you don't want us to be here, let us know. Hello? Anybody there?
Yes, hi, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm on the line as well.
Good morning, Judge.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing okay.
Yeah. Hello?
Good morning, Z.
Good morning, Don.
From when you're being recorded, so watch your comments.
Closer than.
Do you want me to put the microphones maybe?
That's good. That's good right there.
So we have, there should be six people on the phone. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Yes.
All right. So, let me go through just to get an idea of who's on the phone. Marla, are you there? Jeff?
I'm here.
Who else?
Madeline and Zlatko.
Three. Who else is on the phone?
I think Rose Livingston, my senior analyst, may also be on the phone. Rose, are you there?
There are eight people on the phone. Oh, right. That's right. We're out in closed session. Okay, great. Perfect. Sorry. What time is it? All right. It's early. All right. First of all, welcome everybody to the May 17th, 2017 Judicial Branch Budget Committee meeting. This is an open meeting for the first part, and then we'll go into an educational session and closed session in the back half. We are meeting kind of in the middle of the end of the budget, of the 17-18 budget session. So that's an interesting time for us. Hopefully all of you were able to listen in on one of the phone calls that Blacko and Martin and the finance staff hosted to talk a little bit about the budget and what it meant for us and going forward. So before we get into our meeting, I'm going to ask Ms. Fogarty to take roll call.
Judge Rubin?
Here.
Justice Hume?
Here.
Judge Anderson? Judge Barton?
Here.
Judge Brody?
Here.
Judge Nadler?
Here.
Judge Stout?
Here.
Ms. Flenna?
Here.
Ms. Ibarra?
Okay. And Judge Anderson talked to me last week. I know she meant to be here, so.
They might be on the other line. It was a little confusing as to which one to call.
Was it? Judge Barton, can you tell me, I'm going to text them right now. What were the last four digits of the line on which you called in? Right now.
Well, it's the past
630.
Oh, the cast. Okay, I get it. I see it. you? I don't actually have them on my phone. Can you text them? All right, we're texting them right now to get them on. All right, this meeting is open to the public, and we are being recorded. Members of the public can join the call via listen-only code, permitting them to join and leave at any time without notice or interruption. I guess we should say that at least as it's arranged this morning, we are getting ringing in and out when people are coming on and off, so we'll try to fix that for next time. So if you are on the phone, please place your phones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise, such as dogs and children, and music. Also, if you're using your office phone or you're calling in from an office phone, please do not put us on hold, because we get hold music, and then we have to hang up and start all over again, having everyone call in. And if you're going to speak, if you could identify yourselves prior to speaking for the benefit of all participating and anyone listening in so they know who's talking. And with that, let's get into the business side of the meeting. Did everybody have a chance to look at our March 22nd minutes that were circulated? Okay, hearing nothing, I'm assuming everyone did. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve.
All right, Brody moves.
Second, Barton.
Barton seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor of adopting the minutes, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? All right, that passes unanimously. Ms. Fogarty, let's move to public comment.
No written or in-person public comment.
All right, that concludes the public comment portion of the meeting. Let's move on now to item one, which is the update by Zlatko Theodorovic on the Governor's May revise. By the way, I heard that I talked to Zlatko personally at one point. I was on the chair's call, and I listened in on one of the public calls and the BBC call, and I thought, Zlatko, you did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
So see if you can repeat that now.
Well, hopefully all of you, since we had a judicial counsel invited to the phone calls, were able to join in. And I'm only do my best to try and recreate that, which Martin did, as far as the overall budget. But, yeah, thank you for that. Those kind words, Judge Rubin. As we all know, the budget started in January with what was viewed as by the administration as a flat budget for us, no cuts, as they were preparing and presenting a budget that needed some adjustments. But as we said then and we'll still say now, the budget effectively does result in unfunded costs that really push us backwards. In the governor's budget, there were a necessity to deal with over $5 billion shortfall. As of the May revision, the revenues have improved by $2.5 billion. Therefore, the amount of reduction is no longer needed at that level. So there are some restorations in the budget, but there still remains a certain levels of reduction in the budget. Restorations of January reductions included funding in K-12 education, child care provider rate increases, some in-home supportive services programs. So those are clearly high priorities for the administration. And while even some of the restorations still reflect a reduction, for example, in the in-home supportive services area, what was a $626 million reduction was reduced to a $400 million, by $200 million, and a phase-in of reductions further on to eliminate the funding. So it's not as if the governor isn't making some substantial reductions in the budget necessitated by the eroded revenues. But with that said, the May revision doesn't really do much in terms of dollar impact for the branch, small amounts, mostly in the technology world, and I'll just go through those quickly. The biggest change, and it's not a written change in the presentation of materials, which if for the first time in many years the May revision did not include a section on the judicial branch, so I'm sure many folks went immediately to that May revision report and were looking for judicial branch section. There was none. But what was we were able to communicate based on information provided by the Department of Finance, as well as communicated to Martin by the upper levels of the Department of Finance, is an issue, as we all know, we've been tracking the driver's license holds and the elimination of our ability to place holds on failures to pay. We would still have the ability to place holds on the failure to appear. Our ongoing advocacy has been that the state needs to recognize the fiscal impact of that, and we worked very hard with many courts to present information to the legislative analyst, who was the first to come out to say that this proposal would result in tens of millions of dollars of revenue losses to the system, of which we are a significant participant in that revenue system of traffic fines and fees. We then had to turn our sights on convincing the Department of Finance that the statement that their director made at the January press conference was incorrect in terms of no impact, and that was going to be quite a battle for us, because it's very difficult at times to change Department of Finance's mind on policy positions that they've stated. And given that Director Cohen said there'd be no impact, getting staff to have sufficient information to flip that was a big deal. But the good news in the budget is that they recognize the impact to the trial courts as potentially there, and therefore we are committed to working with us to looking at and analyzing those revenue streams and determining to what extent there is a necessity for backfill. The specific parameters have not been discussed, other than just the basic concept that trial courts and branch operations should not be negatively harmed by this proposal, and therefore the analysis of the revenue impacts would be on that focus as far as not ensuring that there's no harm to trial courts and our construction programs. So that's again a big change for the administration, but it's not written because it's more of just a commitment to us to address the fiscal impact. And we did ask if we were able to state this publicly, and that's why it's referred to in the memo. So that's public, and they understand that commitment is to be communicated to you. And so we feel that's a good progress. I mean, San Francisco, Solano, Contra Costa, Orange, Ventura, LA just spent countless hours combing through their databases to really provide the kind of information that was needed to flip folks. So that was good. In terms of some IT issues, there is a proposal.
Before you go on to the IT issues, can I ask, this is Jim Hughes, I'd like to ask a question about finance fees. When Michael Cohen said that it was not going to have an impact on the courts, and when finance was taking that position, did they have a theory behind that?
Yes, sort of a thin theory, I would say, is that they looked at our annual collections reports, and in their sort of isolated review, they felt that the driver's license hold on the failures to pay was merely one tool in all of the tools that the trial courts and our collections efforts use to ensure that folks ultimately come in and pay.
Even if we didn't hold their license, there'd be other ways for us to put pressure on the people to get the money.
Yeah, and that's what they thought. And they thought things like tax intercept, wage garnishment would be effective. And what was good about it is that when we got the courts on the line.
How did they tell you we were going to do that?
They just asserted it.
Okay.
They asserted that we would use our tools better, that it was just they were there and we were taking only one away. And so in a very simplistic view, if you have 10, 15, 20 tools and you take one of them away, well, that's just one of the tools. But the data we were providing to them indicated that there is an impact of that particular tool. There were three courts, San Francisco, Solano, and Contra Costa, who had voluntarily put a moratorium on, well, not entirely voluntary, but because of some litigation, put a moratorium on the use of the holds. And we were able to show that the lack of the holds resulted in a revenue drop for each one of those three courts, which was not something that they had known about when they were formulating their proposal.
What this tells me is LACO is that there is no serious plan for replacing the lost revenues that are generated from LACO.
No, I would say there is that working with. I mean, currently there is a shortfall backfill process for. As it relates to base allocations for the trial courts, and we explain to them how that methodology goes, what our revenue inputs are, what revenues go into the backfill, and that occurs now as a matter of course for the budget adjustment, both in the proposed budget and as it goes in the current year. So we do have that model, and what they committed to was using our existing budgetary tools to ensure that there is that revenue. The baseline from which we would determine that adjustment is still to be determined. The measurements to see what the level of revenue loss would be is subject, you know, to discussion. But fundamentally, there is that commitment by the administration to do that. And I think that we do have an existing process for other revenue backfills. We could build upon that. And once we get that methodology in place, I think that we'll be in a spot to go forward. I mean, obviously, we have to remind ourselves that, and as those of you, you know, looking at the Futures Commission recommendations and seeing all of the issues with traffic and the revenue flows there, it's complicated, and there's more than just this proposal that are impacting our revenues. We're hearing about the reduced number of citations. Well, clearly we see traffic as a workload driver reducing work, but the revenues that come with it have also been impacted, and we're hearing about some local issues as relates to the level of ticket writing that's happening in part because I think of reactions of some law enforcement to sort of the events of the last couple of years and as it relates to traffic and what risks law enforcement is facing with those traffic stops. So the commitment, though, is at the end of the paragraph on this is that the administration understands and wants to look at all the sort of revenue sources to look at a method here. That may not mean that we get everything we want, but I think that the acknowledgement that their proposals have a negative impact on revenues was a huge step for us, and that took some time. It's going to take some time to develop the methodology by which we would get the backfill on an ongoing basis.
All right, thank you. Just assumes, this is John Wardlaw. The initial strategy that Finance has shared with us, they intend to look at specific courts that they feel are aggressive in their efforts for collection and use those as a model to identify how much revenue reductions occurred and then extrapolate statewide on a statewide picture in an attempt to backfill. That's what's been shared with us at this point.
And what do they consider aggression?
The conversation was one that we were pretty happy to hear Finance saying that there was space, that they were going to be looking at it, and that there was room for a backfill. And we didn't get into the specifics about what they consider to be aggressive actions. Their intent is, after the budget is enacted, that they will have their analysts come in. We will engage in a conversation about the strategy of really identifying what the revenue impact is. It's at that point that I'll have more information relative to their sense of what aggressive behavior relative to collections is. I don't have a good answer for you at this point. We were trying to get budget bill language included in the budget that would specify the intent to backfill. Finance wasn't comfortable with having actual budget bill language, but they did have a verbal agreement and an email exchanges with their leadership, giving us confidence that they are going to look at this.
Can
you
see it? I'm going to consider modification.
Well,
I'll think about it.
It's got a little bit, right, that's always the fear that it's sort of an okey-doke that you're getting. But I have a sort of a related question to Judge Anderson's, which is, does the Department of Finance want the courts to be
more aggressive in collecting revenues as a policy matter? I mean, this is always sort of a, I think, a fraught question is what's our role in affirmatively collecting revenues? I mean, part of the beauty, my take, part of the beauty of the driver's license holds it to take, you know, I mean, there are other examples, was it was sort of, the pressure point didn't exactly come from the courts. We weren't going out, you know, grabbing money exactly. This was an external that motivated people on their own to come to court. But is there some suggestion that the courts aren't being aggressive enough as a on a branch-wide level in collecting?
Well, I don't know if it's aggression or aggressiveness, but it's just a matter of looking at the growing uncollected debt, and in their minds, something might need to change. I think that in part there's a shallow perception that it is maybe the lack of aggressiveness, but that's why we're imploring the branch to, not the branch, I'm sorry, the executive and legislative branches to join us in this discussion of the right way to fund our all the operations that come from these revenue streams and whether or not these fines and fees are too high. That is a reality. So while there may be obviously some, there's always going to be room for improvement. Whether or not it's the linchpin to why we have a $10 billion uncollected debt, is it because the fines and fees are too high? I think that the invitation to look at these revenues will then sort of avail them of all the efforts that the courts are making. I mean, as disjointed as it is now, that it's not required that the court do it. It first falls with the county, and depending on the relationship between the court and the county, has the court taken it over? There's some courts who feel that it is absolutely the county's responsibility as an executive sort of function at the level, and would not want to take on the collection's responsibility. So there's a uncertainty in the law. Questions about the level of the fines and fees and whether or not they're appropriate, and therefore if they were reduced, they could be a higher level of collection. You know, obviously our own branch is looking at ability to pay as a factor in terms of the federal grant that we received last year, and Shelley Kern's folks are working with the group on that. I mean, there's a lot of factors, and it's very, very complicated.
May I make a suggestion? This is a really interesting and important topic. It probably warrants its own educational session, if not a public session as well, to get input from folks. It's a little outside of our purview for now, but I think given that last sentence of our description, they can dump anything in here that they want that's budget-related. We have a lot of ground to cover in the next 32 minutes, so let me caucus with Lucy and Vlatko and come up with a date maybe when we can talk about just this and try to get some background and more educational, more kind of take a deeper dive into it. You want to talk about a little bit about technologies, Lacko, and then we'll move on to item two?
Yeah. So there's a few proposals in the budget. One relates to electronic filing at the trial courts. There are some improvements in the document management system for the appellate courts. There's funding for the state-level judiciary to move from their existing Oracle system for financial management to FISCAL, the statewide system. Those, again, speak to the administration's continued support of our movement technology-wise forward. Hopefully you've all seen the memo, so I won't go over the details. We are in the middle of budget hearings. I would have been in San Francisco today if it weren't for the budget hearing that we have today. We have budget hearings tomorrow. There's one scheduled for Monday, and so as far as the budget process goes, they'll have their hearings. We will then have a budget conference committee, and this next 4 weeks will probably be the most free-for-all budget period with you're going to hear reports of augmentations in the branch that are either things that we wanted or we didn't want, language issues. We're just going to stay vigilant for the next 4 weeks, but by the time this legislature passes something to the administration on really tracking all the issues and staying on top of it and making sure that the branch is positioned as best possible to get what we can out of the budget.
All right. Any other questions for Zlatko? Another great presentation, Zlatko. Thank you. Let's move on to item two. Ms. Madeline McLean is going to talk to us a little bit about our BCP proposal updates for 18-19.
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Madeline. Just wanted to give you a brief update where we are in terms of our BCP concepts. Budget Services staff are working with the offices to finalize all of the budget change proposal concept documents per the approved timeline in order to ensure that all the concepts are completed in time for the JBBC meeting in June. All concepts are being reviewed by the required subcommittees and advisory bodies at this point. And Budget Services staff is coordinating the TICFAC meeting on the 23rd of May and the A&E meeting on the 24th of May. As these concepts are going through Budget Services review, we are addressing some of the questions that the members had, JBBC members had during the IFR stages, so that we will incorporate questions and answers to those within the BCP concept documents. But we're on track, and everything will be finalized in the next couple weeks.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Ms. McLean. Any questions for Ms. McLean about our BCPs? Yes, Justice Humes.
Madeline, my question is the process as we're going forward this year, are you finding that it's any more expedited and efficient than it was last year? In other words, is what we're doing as a budget committee helping you guys, making it better or not?
I think it's actually streamlining it and it allowed us to kind of put more parameters and timelines that the offices are now more aware of. So we have a more set time frame, and we're able to incorporate a lot of questions that people might have earlier in the process rather than later in the process.
Yeah. I would add on to that is that one of the key goals was to ensure we get input. And the structure, while some might say, you know, it feels clunky or bureaucratic, it is that we ended up having issues going forward if we hadn't gotten this, you know, kind of early input. So I think it is benefiting us to have this process. So from an efficiency standpoint, we can measure that in a few different ways. One of them is, are we getting the proper input early enough from the various impacted parties so that we can have a full discussion and deliberation at your meetings? And I say the answer is yes.
All right, good.
Any other questions? All right. Again, thank you, Ms. McLean, for all your hard work on the BCPs for 18-19. We stay on track, which is great. That does conclude the open session of the meeting, so we're going to adjourn that part. I'm going to ask the members on the phone, so I think it's just Judge Barden, is that right?
I'm here. I don't know who else is.
All right. Well, everybody else showed up. Ms. Ibarra and Judge Anderson did show up like literally 2 minutes into the meeting once we started. So they're all here. So let's have you guys call. If you're a member or a staff member, go ahead and call back in on the closed meeting dial-in information. To the people who are from the public, thank you for being there, and thank you for showing an interest in our committee. That's important to us. All right, thank you. We're in adjournment of the public portion.
Let me talk to...